Considering the songs we sang this morning, it seems Brother David and I had some similar thoughts in our minds regarding the things that we were to consider this morning, because our songs have talked about the Word of God. Songs talked about teaching the Word, about our learning the Word, about spreading the Word, and the only way that's going to happen is if we spend time in the Word. As Brother Bill read for us from Psalm 19, and we sang just this past Wednesday night in our singing night. By the way, if you missed our singing night, you missed a good singing night. We had some good singing this past Wednesday night, and we appreciate those who participated, and we hope that whatever hindered you from being here can be alleviated and you can be back with us. We won't have another singing night until the end of December, but we'll be here for Bible class every Wednesday evening, and we appreciate all attending for that. But we sang that song, Psalm 19, this past Wednesday evening. That is just the words of that song put to music. And I hope that as you sang that song, and as you sang the songs this morning, you meant the things that you had to say. You understand the need to understand and know the Word of God. And I hope that you, like me, have the attitude of the psalmist, that you love God's law. Well, we'll talk this morning about that for a little bit, because it's important for us to recognize the need to love God's law. And there are some things that we're going to consider as we begin, and then we're going to look at David's, well, as I sometimes refer to it, at least to myself, David's ode to the law of God in Psalm 119 as we go through this morning in our sermon. But we want to consider some things about the law, and certainly we recognize that we are given instruction by Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament scriptures, as well as in some of the Old Testament passages, that we are to abide in or to continue in the law of God. Jesus told those who were listening to him, his disciples, and the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You know what that means? If we don't abide in God's word, the words of Christ, we won't know the truth, and we will be slaves to sin for all of our life here upon this earth. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." Paul emphasized to Timothy and Titus and all those that he wrote to that it was important to keep the Word fresh in our lives and to make it a part of who we are. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he wrote, "But as for you, Timothy, continue," very similar to what Jesus said in John chapter 8, "to abide, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." In other words, Timothy, the things that you have learned, the scriptures that have been impressed upon you and read to you and spoken about, both by your parents, your mother, and your grandmother, and Timothy, the things that I have taught you, make them a part of your life, because they are what you need in order to be equipped to do the work that God has given you to do. Peter tells us that just like newborn infants long for physical milk, we need to long for the spiritual milk, that by it we may grow up into salvation. And don't mistake that and confuse that with the idea that babes have milk and those who are more mature have meatier parts of the law, as we read over in the book of Hebrews. But understand that Peter is just talking about the attitude toward that sustenance. Like a newborn baby longs for sustenance, we need to long for it just as well. It needs to be an integral part of our lives. We need to live in and abide in the Word of God, because it is through that Word that we gain understanding. We gain an understanding of God through study
of the Word. We learn about His power. In John chapter 1, as we read the beginning of that gospel that the Apostle John wrote, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Two things talk about the power of God. And one of them refers us back to the book of Genesis and the creation story, where we see the literal power of God in creation. We don't know of that unless we read from the Word of God. And then, in the last part of that reading, and John expounds on it in this chapter, and we see it throughout the book of John and the Gospels of Christ in particular, the Gospels about Christ in particular, but we see the power of God's light. In a dark and wicked world, the light of God still shines forth bright and clear, and there is no way for the darkness to overcome it. Won't happen. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," Paul says, "for it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The power of God we learn about as we read from His Word. We learn about the love of God as we read from the pages of Scripture. Passage familiar to all of us. Some of you may have seen it on your TV screens when you was watching football games yesterday. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." God's love is revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. In the story of the sacrifice of the Son on our behalf. We read in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There's no way for us to know and understand and comprehend the love that God has for us unless we spend time in God's Word. Because it is there we read the story of the cross, the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, and all the wonderful and great things that God has done from the very beginning of time because of His love for man. More importantly, to me, because of His love for me. I learn about that and I read the Word. I learn about God and who He is and what He's all about. And I learn about His justice and His righteousness. As was read for us, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In the laws and the regulations and the writings and the stories that we have contained in the pages of Scripture, we learn of the justice and righteousness of God. As we're told, we can look out at creation and know that there is a God. Something that is greater than we are. Something that is more powerful than we can even comprehend. But it is in the pages of God's Word that we learn about God. We need to spend time in the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that gives us the strength and the correction that we need so that we can be in a right relationship with God. So that we can bear up under the struggles and trials and difficulties of this life. Paul tells us faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. The Hebrew writer tells us that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If you want to find out what kind of person you are,
Read the Word of God. You'll find out what kind of person you are. May not like what we find, but we'll find out what kind of person we are through reading and studying the Word of God.
It is through the law of God, the rules, the regulations, the pages of Scripture, the inspired writings of God, that we live, we learn, and we grow. I love God's law. Now, if you would, turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. It's that chapter that when you're reading through the Bible and you're figuring how many chapters I'm going to read in order to get through, you think, oh, wait, that chapter is going to take me three times as long as any of the other chapters there. And so I need to set a whole day just for it. I'll just do that reading that one day, right? It's the one that scares you. Well, I don't know whether I can keep up with my reading if I got to read Psalm 119, because that thing's got 176 verses. It is an ode to God's law. It's actually 22 poems written by the psalmist as an ode to the law of God, expressing his thoughts about God's word. 22 divided into 8 verse sections in our Bibles. If your Bible has divisions, you probably see some weird words up there. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, He, Vav, Zayin. Maybe you don't have those. If you do, those are Hebrew alphabet letters. They correspond to our ABCD. Maybe not directly, but similar situation. And that's because of the style of poetry that the psalmist is using. But those are ancillary things to understanding what is found in the pages of this particular portion of God's Word. This is David's... I'm thinking it's David's. I don't know that I could prove that it's David's. But this is, in my mind, David's, I love your law. Here's how much I love your law. And as I read through this, sometimes I come up and there's some words that come to mind as I read the various sections. And I hope that you will consider these words that I have here this morning. We're going to look at each of these sections briefly. 22 sections, and we could take days to get through this. In fact, we did take weeks when we studied this psalm a few years back. But I want to briefly look at some things in each of these sections, and these are the words that came to mind as I was going through and looking at this time, and I'll be honest with you, when I read back through this again later, after having already done this, there were different words that popped out to me. So as you read through, there may be different words that pop out to you as a description or a thought process in looking through this, and I would urge you to spend time doing that, to get an understanding of the kind of attitude that we ought to have toward the law of God. David says, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Blessings are ours from God's Word. That's what David is saying here in those first few verses of this particular poem, this particular section. We're blessed through the Word of God. We continue, we look at the second one, and he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandment. And I'm not going to read all of each of these sections. We're going to read a portion of most all of them. But when I read this, Of course, I think of the song, How can the young secure their heart? That's more along the lines of the King James Version rendering of this. The Word of God gives me direction. It lays out a pathway for me to follow. It lets me know which way to go. We continue, deal bountifully in verse 17, beginning the third section, with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. The Word of God gives us instruction, guidance, a means of understanding and knowing what God expects of us. It teaches us. In the third section, or excuse me, the fourth section, I may get my numbers wrong if I keep doing that. We'll just do the next one. The word strength stood out to me as I read this. In particular, in verse 28, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. In other words, God, I'm having problems. I'm having difficulties. And we've talked about this before in other lessons. Your word can give me strength. That's why I love your law, God. It strengthens me in my time of weakness. It gives me courage when I need to be brave. It gives me a backbone so that I can stand. It strengthens me through the Word of God. Look at the latter part of this next section in verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. When I read that particular passage and I consider some of the things said earlier in this section, I think of focus. David said, I long for your precepts. I have great desire for your word. What I'm focusing on, God, is your instruction. The Word of God gives us focus, not just we should be focused upon the Word, but it gives us a focus of God. And of righteousness and of justice. And we read in the next passage, may your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word, so I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. We had a lesson, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Why I hope, talking about being able to give a defense for the hope that we have. Where do we get that defense? The answer we have for those who would say, why do you do what you do, is in God's Word. We can trust that whatever answer we need, whatever question is brought upon us, we can go to the Word of God and find that answer. And know that it's true. I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust your word. It gives us all the answers we need. It may not answer all the questions that pop up in our minds, but it gives us all the answers that we need. The next section, beginning in verse 49, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The Word of God gives us comfort in our times of difficulty and sorrow. I know we've talked about this in other lessons, and we'll continue to talk about it because it seems more and more we have afflictions and sorrows that we're having to deal with. The Word of God is there to give us comfort. Why? Because it teaches us that we can trust in God. We can depend upon Him, and we learn this from His law. In verse 62, the psalmist says, at midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinance. Notice what the psalmist is saying there. Because I know your word, because I'm familiar with your word, because I can trust you and what you have revealed to me, I am thankful. Reading and studying and making the Word of God a part of our lives gives us thankfulness. Or at least It should. Thankful. Then look at verse 65 and 66. You have dealt with your servant well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. God, you have dealt well with me in accordance with your word. Help me learn how to use discernment or judgment properly, so that I can deal well with others. The Word of God gives us judgment. Not judging, as in we stand before the judge, but discernment. Good judgment is the term we probably use more often than not. It allows us to make the right decisions in the various situations that we find ourselves in. It allows us to speak the right word. Through study, application, and integration into our lives, the Word of God gives us good judgment. It also gives us integrity, teaches us integrity, helps us how to have integrity. Look at verse 80. May my heart be blameless in your statutes so that I will not be ashamed. Isn't that what we're talking about when we talk about integrity? I'm upright, I'm living righteous and right in the sight of God. We gain these things through making the Word of God a part of our life. I love your law, God, because it can help me to be blameless so that I'm not ashamed of how I conduct myself. Ever look back at something that you did last week or a month ago or years ago and think, I can't believe I did that. I wouldn't do that now. You know why you wouldn't do it now? Because you've been better trained by the Word of God. And now, we would take action that does not cause you shame. Integrity. And that's something that's sorely missing in our society today. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. When I read that verse, the only word that came up into my mind was the word hope. Hope. The Word of God gives us hope. There is nothing in this world that can give us hope like the Word of God does. Not just hope for this life, but a hope that has a focus beyond the here and now. It's not based in the physical things that we have. Our hope is not built upon the house and bank accounts and cars and friends and family and support system that we have. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and His righteousness. Where do we get that? The Word of God. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. It gives me hope. Hope that there's something beyond this. Again, in verse 84, how many are the days of your servants? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? There again, this idea of hope. Trust in God allows us to have hope that those who abuse us, those who mistreat us, will be held accountable for their actions. I know you as well as I, when we look at things that are going on in our society today, in our world and in our country, we look and say, you know, no, they're getting away with everything. Some of these folks aren't getting held accountable for anything. But through reading and studying the Word of God, by concentrating on it, we can learn that there is a time when they will be held accountable. It may not be here and now. But all will stand before and receive punishment at the hand of God who are disobedient. It gives us hope. Forever, O Lord, verse 89 says, your word is settled in heaven. Or the alternate rendering I have in my notes here, stands firm. It doesn't take much reading in the Word of God to understand that it is a standard that will not change. It is the same today that it was 2,000 years ago. It has the same effect on the heart of men. And it'll have that same effect as long as this world stands. It is a standard that we can depend upon. I know your word is settled in heaven. It stands firm and it will not change. There's a lot of things that change in this life. The Word of God will not. It gives us a standard that we can trust and we can go by. It will not make any adjustments through the years. In verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. The Word of God gives us insight, understanding, more than anyone else on the earth. When we meditate on the testimonies and teachings of God, it gives us an understanding and can lead us to a wisdom that is beyond anything that can be found on this earth. Because as the next section, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It illuminates the things that we need to know. Not only, as we looked in one of the early things, is it a direction or a set of, and it gives us instruction and guidance, but it does it in such a way that it is clear and easy to see. It is illuminating in all aspects of life. We can take the Word of God, as we looked in the book of Hebrews just a few moments ago, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we can take the Word of God and use it to discern even the depths of our own heart. It is illuminating. It is also a place that provides protection. In verse 113, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. No matter what is being cast at us, the Word of God can protect us. Isn't that what Paul's telling us when he speaks of the armor of God that he's given to us so that we can stand, when he talks about the shield of faith? That'll be able to quench the fiery darts. It is a protection to us. It is assurance. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors, but surety for your servant, or be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. Along with the attitude and thought process that goes with thinking of it as hope and as protection, the Word of God also gives us assurance. Because it is a standard that can be universally trusted forever, it gives us assurance as we read from its pages how God will deal with the wicked and God will bless the righteous. Assurance is found in the Word of God. There is a clarity. This goes with the ideas of insight and illumination and answer and focus. There's a clarity that is brought to us through the Word of God. The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. It clarifies. It clears things up. I suspect at some point in the near future, several of you guys will be out hunting deer, probably on your deer rifle, maybe even on your bow. You got one of them little things you call a scope. And you use that scope to clarify what you're looking at when you're looking at a distance, to make sure you're seeing what you think you see. We use these things for clarity.
take them off, and some of y'all are a little bit fuzzy.
I put them back on, and whoa, clear. Clarity. We gain clarity through study and application of the Word of God in our lives. It is righteous, and it helps us to be righteous. Verse 137, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. It directs us in that which is right. And keeps us from that which is wrong. It brings a revival. Look at verse 149. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Enliven me. Bring me back up. When we're down, the Word of God gives us purpose when we read and study, and it revives us. Sometimes think that we've done ourselves a disservice by not using that term revival like some of our denominational friends and neighbors do. We have gospel meetings. We don't have revivals. And sometimes in doing so, we've forgotten what it is that getting together and reading and studying from the Word of God is to do. It is to revive us. To bring us back to life. To get the energy back in. Come home all worn out from working all day, and you grab one of their energy drinks and you drink it down, or some energy bar, and it revives you. It gives you energy again. It goes away pretty quick. You've got a pretty good downside when it wears off, but it picks you back up. The Word of God brings a revival into us. The Word of God gives us deliverance. Verse 153, look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. It brings us back into this right relationship with God. It brings us out of the dank and dark wickedness of the world around us and delivers us into the very presence of God. And the more we have it in our life, the greater that deliverance is. And it gives us peace. Verse 165, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Not peace as in quiet and nobody ever bothering you physically, but peace as in, I know things are right with God. I know I don't have to worry. Because I've got my mind, as Paul tells the Philippian brethren, focused on godly things. I'm keeping myself alive in the Word of God. Therefore, I have peace beyond the understandings of this world. And finally, beginning in verse 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word. For all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Through the Word of God, we have access to God. And I found it kind of interesting that this is the way that the psalmist closes this particular set of writings, with the understanding that through his word and all these things that are associated with his word, it brings us access to God. I can come into the very presence of the Creator of all the earth and talk to him about my problems. Why? Because I've devoted myself to following his word. Through the word of God, we have access to the Creator. Imagine the difference that would be in our relationship with some organizations if we had access to the one who was ultimately in charge of it all. And then think of how that corresponds with what we can do with access to God. We have that through God's Word.
I love your law. We need God's Word in our life. Regular meditation and contemplation. Extensive, focused study in the Word. Application of what we learn to our lives. Daily reading and study. You see what I did there? In case you missed it, read those yellow letters. We need that. And then we need to add prayerful consideration of that word as we access the Father. I love your law. I hope you love my law. It is important to us. It gives us things that we can find nowhere else. Most importantly, it brings us into the presence of the very God who created this world, this universe, and who provided the means by which we can be saved. And it tells us how to access it and how to take advantage of what he has done for us and to use it in our life today as we deal with individuals and we deal with the problems and the struggles of this life. More importantly, it helps us learn how to use God's plan to get ourselves to heaven. Obedience to that word, confession of our belief of Jesus as his son, and then taking action upon that confession of changing our lives to devote ourselves to serving God, giving him our all, buried in baptism to wash our sins away, to be added to the body of Christ, the family of God, and then gives us continued access to God so that we can adjust our life, adjust our desires and our hopes and our attitudes so that they better align with God. And when we find that we have failed in doing that, we have direct access with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. We can pray to him, ask him to forgive our wrongs, confessing them, and we know that he will, as John tells us, forgive them as if they had never happened at all. All of that. I hope the Word is a daily part of your life. I hope you, no matter how much of your life you've spent in the Word up to this point, you will expand that. You will spend more time in the Word so that you can glean more and more of the blessings that are available and draw yourself closer to God. If you recognize there are some things in your life that are amiss that need to be set right, we as a congregation can assist you in that. Bringing things before the presence of God as a group to assist you in receiving forgiveness, and receiving help, receiving encouragement, opportunities, Lord, why don't you come while we stand in center.